Lecture 3, Intellectual and Cultural Life, The Challenge of the Enlightenment.
In our last lecture, we examined the structure of European politics and European society in the 18th century, concluding with observations about a profound change that was undergoing, Europe was undergoing in the 18th century, an economic and social change. As the Atlantic trade accelerated, as a population growth reached revolutionary proportions after 1750, the result of an agricultural revolution, as wealth began to accumulate in the hands of commoners, not in the traditional landed aristocracy, the stage was set for a major challenge to the established order of European society. In this lecture, we're going to examine the intellectual climate of the 18th century and turn our attention particularly toward that body of ideas that one usually thinks of as the Enlightenment, the movement of the Enlightenment, where it came from, its challenge to the established order, and the preconditions for its emergence. Certainly, as one looks at Europe in the 18th century, it seems quite likely that the period from 1645 to 1740, which witnessed the economic changes that we've talked about, that this served as a basic precondition for a second major transformation of European life in the 18th century, and that was a revolution in ideas that we think of as the Enlightenment. One can certainly say that in the 100-year span from roughly the end of the 17th century to the end of the 18th, that ideas, attitudes, and tastes associated with what we call the Enlightenment came to dominate European culture in the broadest sense and became characteristic of the entire period. It is frequently referred to as the Age of Reason. It doesn't mean that religion had retreated, that Europe had suddenly become driven by rational principles and rational concerns, but it certainly comes to dominate the intellectual climate of the period. What do we mean when we talk about the Enlightenment? What are its general characteristics? First of all, the most obvious is a belief in the power of reason and skepticism about traditional beliefs. There was a growing sense and conviction that the universe is orderly, that it functions on the basis of a set of rational laws and principles which can be understood not by some sort of metaphysical, spiritual meditation, but rather by the application of reason. That natural phenomena can be approached and comprehended by the application of reason. That the world, the universe, operates according to a set of natural laws, not religious or spiritual beliefs, but that these natural laws determine the physical universe and, ultimately, the actions of man. Thus, the emphasis tended to be secular, to look for explanation, not in revealed religion, but rather in observation, scientific observation, rational observation. This is the case even if many of those intellectuals involved in what we think of as the Enlightenment were, in fact, devout Christians who believed that their work simply was redounding to the greater glory of God. Nonetheless, by applying reason and what came to be known as the empirical method, human beings could understand the cosmos bit by bit. Systematic observation and experimentation would be the tools. By applying that reason, man could master his environment, and one sees, as Enlightenment thought began to evolve, a growing sense that knowledge is really power. It's power not only to understand the universe is a scientific phenomenon, but also to arrange social, economic, and political circumstances on Earth. Hence, there was an emphasis not on learning per se. This was not a philosophical exercise, but rather an emphasis on applied science, This was what was so characteristic about the Enlightenment, particularly in Western Europe, in France, the real home of the Enlightenment, and in England.